How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he would give his only Son and make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Thank you, Brian, and what a perfect segue into my children's message. As the boys and girls are being dismissed to Puggles and Children's Church, I'm going to invite you to come up here right now with me as we'll talk a little bit about music. Mr. Brian just sang a cappella. As Barney Fife would say acapoco, but that's without music. But stand right here on the stage because I have something I want to talk to you about. Come on, all the boys and girls here and all the helpers as well could be dismissed right after this. Go ahead and start the CD in the back. I want to see if you recognize this song right here. Turn it up a little bit. This is last week, or last year. Hey, you remember that? You Vacation Bible School, listen. Who remembers that song? Raise your hand. We still dance to that song in our house. Great. Go ahead and stop it. You stand right there. Go ahead and stop it. You stand right there. You see how music has progressed? Right now, you have music on the overheads. Wow! Your mom and dad probably have a smartphone, and they have music on their smartphone, the MP3 players, okay? So we have music. It's so advanced. Singing songs of Jesus is on overhead projectors. It's on phones. Down the years, it used to be, and this is called a CD, boys and girls. This is a CD. All the music is on this. This, you all have this? Yes, a CD cassette? Excellent. If you buy a new car today, you don't get this anymore. Anybody realize that? You buy a new car, they don't put CD players in there? Goodness, maybe it'll be a Frisbee. I don't know. What do you think? But before a CD player, I'll get it. Before a CD player, we had something known as a cassette. Can everybody say cassette? Cassette. And this was like a bunch of songs on a piece of tape right here that came out. It's like magic. It was wound here. Does anybody have any cassettes at home? You probably don't. Okay. Well, back in my day, this was cutting-edge technology. And when it broke, you put a piece of tape on it, and you wind it back up with your finger or a pencil, and be singing songs like, Jesus loves me, this I know for... That's what it sounded like on here. But before you had all the cassettes, you also had something known as, we're just backing up. We had the overheads, we had phones, MP3 players, we have CDs, we have cassettes, something known as an 8-track tape. Anybody ever seen an 8-track? It looks like a book. If not, look at all the old people out here. Look. Right? They probably have 8-tracks at home. Bring one in, because Pastor Dallas doesn't have any more. But when I was in high school, when I put the Beach Boys in my Dodge Charger and plugged that in, when I pulled into school, I was the hit of the town. That's just, I'm letting you know, Beach Boys were my thing. But before that, then you had this. Yes, I like Elvis. Don't anybody else laugh at that. I like Elvis. Elvis is the gospel songs. And this is like a big cassette, a big CD, okay? But this has like 6 or 7 songs on this side. You flip it over, you have 6 or 7 songs on this side. But before overheads, before phones, before cassettes, before 8-tracks, before an LP album, many years ago, even before electricity, they had this. And this right here is one song on a record. This side and that side. And this player right here is over 100 years old. And this, look, has a crank on the front. And what you got to do, you got to wind this one up. Go look, it has no cords, no electricity. So you got to wind it this way, okay? Let's do this. You want to wind? You want to come here and wind it for me? Come on. We'll count to 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Great. You want to come back down? 1 more. Gracie, you want to come up here and do it for me? 5 more turns? Come on, I'll help you. Grab right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Y'all show your love for the boys and girls. Thank you. All right, you ready? Now, this is big. Hold on. This is big. One song. Your mama and papa used to dance to that. We're going to stop. One song on one record. You see how far music has come? Right now, we can put 1,000 songs on the overhead like that, or on your mom and dad on their phone. But back in this day, you had one song on one record. But here's the thing. Music has changed, but the message behind the music has not. All these tapes up here, all these CDs, all these albums are all singing about Jesus, not the Beach Boys, not anybody else, about Jesus. Let's show our love for the boys and girls right now while they're dismissed. Thank you. And Brother Jeff's going to come and lead us in the old-time gospel song. Give me the old-time religion, since we had this old song up here. Where everybody stand with me, please. We're going to sing the last stanza. It will take us all to heaven. Jeff, lead us in this.
Yes, sir.
Give yourself a big round of applause. Thank you so much, and please be seated. Wow, the old-time religion. Pastor Dallas, you have preached against religion. Yes, yes, and yes, emphatically. But if you were with us last week, I said we'll be enjoying a 3-part series on the old-time religion. I'm not talking about the these and thous, the do's and don'ts, the Pharisaical man-made laws. I'm talking about that personal religion, that personal touch, that personal encounter with God. Wow, that personal relationship, not a religion that will send you to hell, being baptized, joining the church, singing in the choir, even teaching boys and girls. We can do all those things and still not have Jesus Christ in our heart, in our lives, and we will do nothing but go straight to hell. We did all the religious things, but we missed the old time religion. Wow. Let me introduce today's message with five simple words. Five simple words. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, look up here, I'd rather speak five words with clarity that you can understand than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So if you've been listening to me for any amount of time, you know I almost always begin my messages with the same five words. Anybody know what those five words are? Open your Bible with me. What a great place to start. Dear friends, all I have to offer you, the only thing any preacher should have to offer you is, thus saith God. So open your Bibles with me, please, to John chapter 3, a very familiar portion of Scripture to you. Open your Bible with me. Five words we should begin every message with, five words. But in addition, look at the title inside of your worship guide. Look in your sermon notes section. Five words that will change your life forever, not only here, but also in heaven. It's talking about the old-time religion. Not again what the Pharisees were teaching, but what Jesus Christ said. The old-time personal relationship of Jesus Christ. When we sang the old-time religion here, someone told me last week, you do realize you're at First Baptist Church, and we don't always sing those songs. And I said, and you're welcome, amen? And they said, I like them old songs, Jeff. Jeff and his trio were singing yesterday, right before the homegoing service of Brother Bob, in a pickup truck out here in the parking lot. The church was abuzz with everything that was going on with the funeral there. And I said, where are the boys? They're going to be singing here soon. They said, they're practicing in a pickup truck out there. I said, you got to be kidding me. But I found out, hey, the acoustics are wonderful in a pickup truck. So if you see me going down the road singing, or you see others going down the road singing, just say, praise the Lord. It must sound good inside those windows, the only thing I can tell you. But right here in God's house, we're going to sing the old songs and the new songs. Brian already said it as he introduced his message in song today. All music should be Christ-honoring in the church. Let me say it again. Whether it's 200 years old or 2 minutes year old, all music should be Christ-honoring. If you and I saw Brian sing today, he would be saddened. Could we rob God of His glory? If you hear a preacher when he's sharing the Word of God from God's love letter, I have failed, that man has failed, because the only thing you should be hearing is God's Word through God's Spirit imparted by God's man. Well, once again, the old-time religion, the title for today's message, five words that will change your life forever. Let's see if we can discover this in John chapter 3. Now, many of you probably already have verse number 16 underlined in your Bible. If not, that will take you to heaven. That's the old-time relationship of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have what, class? Everlasting life. But before you get to John 3:16, Jesus was talking to a man known as Nicodemus. So consider with me verse number 1 of John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Everyone say Nicodemus. Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. We'll be learning much about his life here. At this time, there's less than 10,000 Pharisees walking the earth with Christ Jesus himself, but that was enough. These were Jewish zealots that really were trying to straighten out the world's religion. Not the personal relationship, but the world's religion. And there's something inside of this 10,000 or less Jewish company of men, so known as the Sanhedrin Party. 71 men were chosen from the 10,000. Some people said there's 8,000. Let's just say less than 10. 70 of the Sanhedrin Party were the leaders, the rulers, the astute, the refined, the educated, the religious leaders among this sect of followers of the Mosaic Law in the Old Testament. They called Jesus out often. They told Jesus, can you imagine this? You're not doing things right. You're not allowed to have that kind of music. You must wash your hand before you eat. You don't do this on the Sabbath day and all that. And Jesus said, are you kidding me? I'm God in the flesh. How many know Jesus is God? Yes. And yet this religious bunch was trying to straighten out God in the flesh. And that's why we're spending time in the old time religion here, trying to straighten out these people and ourselves if we're stuck in that belief, in that practice. Don't do this. Don't do that. And maybe cross your heart and hope to die. Maybe you get to go to heaven. No, that's not what this is about. This man, Nicodemus, was one of the Sanhedrin party, one of the 71 rulers, the leader. And yet he still came to Jesus. He asked him a very basic question, which Jesus is going to answer here twice. The same man, verse number 2, came to Jesus by night. And by the way, most people camp out on that little phrase right there, at night or by night. My goodness, I've heard entire sermons on that two-word phrase. What if it didn't say that? What if it was just Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, we wouldn't be spending so much time. Why did he come to Jesus at night? At nighttime. Why did this religious leader come to Jesus at night? Well, we've heard everything. Well, he was embarrassed to come during the day. Very well could be. I don't know. Or maybe he was busy during the day. I already said he's one of the required religious leaders, over thousands of the religious leaders this day. Maybe the man worked a day shift. Maybe he didn't get off till late at night. Some of you doctors and others here can appreciate that. Maybe the man went and lay down at night to go to sleep, and the unction of God, the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God was so much on him, he had to get out of bed. He had to go seek Jesus. That's what I'm going to hold on to. This man could not sleep until he found out, what must I do to be saved? Wow. That's the old-time religion. That's the old-time relationship. I'm going to put apart all the Mosaic laws, everything from the Ten Commandments and other 603 we added to it and brought it all the way into the New Testament. I'm going to put all that apart. I'm going to go right to the Master himself. And he does this. So this man, Nicodemus, came to Jesus at night and he said, Teacher, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that comes from God. For no man can do these things that you're doing except God is with him. What kind of things? The miracles that Jesus performed in the previous chapters of the book of John. Don't you think, in addition to the man we learned about last week who was healed from blindness and others who were fed, 4,000 one setting, 5,000 others, don't you think that some of the religious leaders here heard about this or even witnessed this themselves? Sure they did. So they were chatting this up, no doubt, in the temple. Who's this guy Jesus? What's going on? How's he healing the blind, the lame, the deaf, the dumb? How's he feeding people from a little bit of fish and a little bit of bread? What's going on here? So this one person of the nearly 10,000 came and sought out Jesus. He said, we know God has to be with you. But then Jesus really answers the question without it being first asked in verse number 3. Jesus replied and said unto him, he answered, verily, verily. If you have that in your Bible, it's really saying truly, truly. Over and over again, Jesus said, I'm going to tell you the truth. Hey, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. Dear friends, from this pulpit, we do our very best to tell you the truth. Not man-made religion, not our preferences, not our partiality, not our beliefs on anything other than what God has to say. So truly, truly, Jesus said, I say unto you, except a man be born again, born anew, born from above, he cannot and will not see the kingdom of God. He knew what Nicodemus was even going to ask. By the way, you may be sitting here in a pew, or those listening by radio. You may be sitting where this man was many, many years ago, more than 2,000 years ago, asking yourself the same question. I'm not a bad person. I try to do what's right, but I certainly am not perfect. I'm still not sure if I'm going to go to heaven. I'm still not sure if I'm part of the kingdom of God. I'm still not sure if I may be saved. Well, this message applies to you as well. Except a man be born from above, born by God, we'll be unpacking this here in a moment, you will not see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus said unto him in verse number 4, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter to the second time in his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered again, truly, truly, verily, verily, emphatically in verse number 5, I say unto you this, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to explain what he's talking about. That which is born in verse number 6 of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you this. Now here's the 5 words you need to fill in the title of your handout. They're in your worship guide. 5 words from the lips of Jesus that will change your life here as well as in eternity forever. What does he say? Verse number 7, you must be born again. Write that down, please. You must be born again. We can't emphasize this anymore. Truly, truly, verily, verily, with the authority of God, every man, every woman that's ever born in this world knows that they're born. Let me ask you a question. We're talking about the 2 births here today. Physical birth. Were you born in this world physically a few years ago? And you would say, what? I'm asking you a very simple question. Are you here today physically? Well, duh, yes. So you know that you're here today. Yes, I understand, Dallas. I'm not that dense. I'm not trying to say you are. I'm asking you a very basic question. Are you here today? Were you physically born sometime in this world? Obviously, yes. Great. Hold on to that. Now, have you been born from above, born again, washed in the blood, saved? And the same person, perhaps you will say, well, I'm not really sure about that. Folks, let's get this straight. As sure as you're sitting there physically, you know that you know that you know that you're here physically, your first earthly birth, you can also emphatically know without hesitation, yes, I've been born again. I've been saved. Rather than this, well, I hope so. I try to do good. I don't know. What? What? Folks, 5 words you must have experienced in your personal life. You must be born again, born anew, born from above. So consider with me your handout down here. Let's unpack this piece by piece. Who's this religious man? Who's this Pharisee? Well, I'm going to get you to write down a couple of words here. You choose which ones you want. If I had to describe a Pharisee, it simply would be religious, prideful, pious, or legalist. Now, you write down any word you want to. This was the religious zealots of that day. I mean, over and above. These were the ones who debated the Scriptures, who added to the Scriptures, who misinterpreted the Scriptures, who tried to straighten out Jesus. The word Pharisee comes from the Hebrew word meaning to separate. Therefore, the separated ones. However, they were not separatists in the sense of isolationist, but in the puritanical sense. They were highly zealous for rituals and religious purity according to the Mosaic law, as I've already described. And they also adhere to their own man-made traditions that they added to the Old Testament. Legislations, Jesus condemned them for their hyper-concentrated and externalization of their man-made religion. Their rules, their regulations, which they criticize others for not keeping, including the Son of God Himself. Well, what does this mean? Man Nicodemus, a Pharisee of the Sanhedrin party, a ruler of the Jews. Jesus loved the Jews. He was a Jew. He came, you find here in chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, he came to seek and save that which was lost. He didn't come to condemn people. He wanted the Jews to trust him as much as those who weren't Jews, the Gentiles. He came for the whole world to be saved. Does that make sense? Sure it does. Sure it does. Well, these Pharisees were the ones, once again, who were trying to keep the Abrahamic covenant, the laws of Moses, the Ten Commandments, and everything else they added to it. They couldn't comb their hair on the Sabbath because that's work. They couldn't eat an egg from a chicken that labored and laid it because that was work. They couldn't do this. They couldn't. And by the way, they were quick to point out others who tried to act outside of their laws, their man-made laws. Are there any Pharisees today in the world? Yes. Not in this religious sense. In the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD, they were broken up, not by name, but by definition. The religious people who are trying to do good, and by the way, they're trying to keep everybody else straight too. Now, don't anybody get mad. I know you and the radio listening audience can already form people in your mind. Don't go there. But if I had to describe in today's time, in this dispensation, a person who is Pharisaical, who's acting out the part of a Pharisee, is a person who knows more about the budget than they do the Bible. Ouch. Thank God we don't have that here. We're going to be approving the budget tonight. How many know that money is just a tool? That's all it is. It's a servant, not a master. But there's some people, you ask them in any church, what does the Bible say about this? And say, oh, I don't know. How much are our budgets this year? How much we have budget for missions? They can tell you, down to the dollar. They know more about dollars and cents than they do about the deity of Christ. What? Well, more than just dollars and cents. People know more about the budget than they do the Bible. Brother, I don't know nothing about the Bible, but my job is to keep the preacher straight and the church straight. Does that not sound like a Pharisee? Sure it does. And then you leave the budget alone, it comes to the Constitution. They know about the Constitution. On page 8, Article 1, Section B of the Constitution, it says, you will do this and that. You say, now, where does it say that for God so loved the world? Oh, I don't know nothing about the Bible. I don't know nothing about the Bible, but I can tell you chapter and verse of the Constitution. More about the bylaws than the Bibles. More about the church constitution than Christ himself. You answer the question for me. Are those people acting that sense, with that tone of voice, with that agenda, are they truly born anew, born from above? You ask. Let's just consider the scriptures. What does it mean to be born again? Well, look with me. Down here, Jesus said you must be born again in verse number 3. Write this down, please. You've already heard this perhaps in the past in Sunday school. My clearest definition of being born again, Jesus said, not physically, but spiritually, you must be born anew. Write that down. Born from above. Born from above. Nicodemus didn't understand this. God said, I'm going to be performing a miracle in your life, Nicodemus. Hey, in order for Nicodemus to understand what a miracle was, he had to become a miracle. Let me say it again. This man was headed to hell. He's seeking out Jesus. And by the way, P.S., we don't have time to follow his life. He shows back up later. Nicodemus is one of my heroes in the Bible. He doesn't remain a Pharisee. He trusts Christ as Savior. His life, his thought pattern, his actions were changed to the glory of God. That can happen to you, me, and others who might be outside the kingdom of God. You must be born again, born anew, born from above. In order to know what a miracle is, you had to become a miracle. Jesus Christ came and died for you, and you can be converted in Christ Jesus. What was this talking about down here? This birth, you have a physical birth, and then you have a spiritual birth. Look up this way. A physical birth simply is a seed of a man, the egg of the woman that comes together, and 9 months later, hallelujah, a precious child. And by the way, this is not political, this is biblical. I want to thank everyone here who has sought me out in rejection of what New York just approved. I want to thank you. I want to get on top of the mountain and say thank you. I got guts enough to say this. A 9th month term abortion, minutes before that 9 month, folks, that's homicide anywhere else in the world. And yet, a standing ovation, they broke out in applause. We don't hate anybody. But why do you think we're spending time today teaching the truth, that God is love? Because people that believe and practice that are outside of God's family. Applaud the murdering, the homicide. What are we doing? You have the physical birth, the seed of a man, the egg of a woman, coming together in the womb. And then a miracle of God takes place. Don't lose sight of that. All right, so now you have the seed of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God. They come together and a miracle takes place. That is born from above. Look again in verse number 3. Must be born again, born from above. Let me give you some Bible verses in support of this. Write down Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Ephesians 5, 26 says that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. So the Word is the seed of God. We know this from the parables of Jesus. A man sows seed. The seed of man, the egg of a woman, you have a physical birth. Okay, don't complicate it. Now you would be born from above. Nicodemus, a very religious man, a very learned man. He said, I'm confused about this. Let me help you, Nicodemus. You have the seed, which is the Word of God. Ephesians 5, 26, write this down. First Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter 1, 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So the seed of man, the egg of a woman, produces an offspring. The seed of God, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God, it produces an offspring. A new birth. Behold, all things become new. Write down 2 Corinthians 5:17. Behold, all things become new, born again, born anew, born from above. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, comes together and conception takes place. Write down John 16, verse number 8. Convicts man unto salvation, regenerates man, and when he is come, talking about Christ, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit of God convicts us. The Holy Spirit of God compels us. So you look down here in verse number 5. So much confusion, so much abuse, so much false doctrine in verse number 5. Jesus said a man must be born of water and of the Spirit. We've already addressed water. It's not baptism alone. And I don't want to make any enemies here, but some people say you got to be baptized to go to heaven. What do you do with a thief on the cross? What do you do with a thief on the cross? He wasn't baptized in water. And then, by the way, what kind of baptism are you talking about? You're talking about immersion, sprinkling, or pouring? What kind of baptism are you talking about? And, oh, by the way, in this same book, why don't you go ahead and turn over a page. Why don't you go to chapter 4, chapter 4 of John, and consider with me verses number 2, that Jesus Christ didn't baptize anybody. Well, how cruel, what a trick for Jesus to come in the flesh and not baptize anybody if it's a requirement that you and I must be baptized. No. Folks, we're baptized after we're saved, after we're born again. You believe that? Say amen. You're showing the world an outward sign of inward change. This is the old-time religion. Goodness. There's an evangelist that used to go all around the world many, many years ago. I won't use his name, but he preached this same message. You must be born again. These five words that will change your life forever. He preached this for years, and yet one of the tribunes, one of the newspapers back in the day got a word of this, and they said, brother, everywhere you go, you preach the same thing. Why do you always preach you must be born again? He said, oh, that's simple, because you must be born again. People were confused hundreds of years ago. People were confused right here with Nicodemus thousands of years ago. Don't you think it's likely people here today and over the radio waves and those listening by internet, don't you think they're confused about this? We understand what a physical birth is, the seed, the egg, the physical birth. Well, look, Jesus describes it down here, must be born of water. We already said the water is the washing of the Word, the seed of God. Well, we don't believe that. I don't know what to do with that. If you're here today and you're a born-again Christian, it's because the Holy Spirit of God convicted you. It's known as regeneration. The Holy Spirit of God convicted you. That's the Spirit of God with the Word of God coming together, convicting you. Not what I'm saying. What God said through the moving of the Holy Spirit of God. Wow. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, conception takes place, and an offspring is born. Proof that you're saved today, this is not being Pharisaical. Proof that you're saved today, you will somewhere, sometime, somehow in your life, put God, F-I-R-S-T, first. Now, you fill in the blanks. You have the blanks down here in your outline. FIRST, we have it on our church marquee out here for 2019. What's the first thing to come to mind if you really want to be born above? The first thing, remember what Jesus said? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, then everything else will be added to you. You got to put first things first. This is the old-time religion. This is no electricity. The power of this record player over here is empowered by a spring. The old-time religion is empowered by the Spirit of God. You see how simple that is? The Spirit of God. No electricity, no man-made religion, nothing feeding it. It's the Spirit of God. So if you go put God first, you won't be born again. I think I'd put Him first in my future. Write that down. My future. Where are you going to go 1 millisecond after you taste death? How about me? Well, those who are saved may want to put God first in their family. Write that down. A lot of people say, well, I am saved. My family, we do this. We also put God first before we make any purchase. We put God first in our finances. You know, that is so foreign to people today. This is a whole other message, but I'm just telling you, Nicodemus, you can watch his life. He put God first henceforth after this throughout the rest of his life. His future, his family, his finances. Folks, you can have anything you want to down here. But this is proof that you truly are born from above, born anew. You want to please God. F-I-I. What are you going to put I in? How about your interest? Just write that down. We're running out of time. What are you really interested in? Is your mind thinking about a ball game today? West Virginia's basketball game yesterday? What are we really thinking about? Huh? Our interests, our investments. What does R stand for? How about your relationships? Your relationships. We tell the boys and girls, don't ever date somebody that you wouldn't marry. Oh, I don't want to get married. Can I tell you something? He might have more thoughts than you do, little girls. Boys, don't ever put your hand on somebody else's wife. We teach that here. The girl you're dating in high school may be someone else's wife. Don't you ever violate her. That's harsh talk. No, it needs to be said. Amen? We're killing babies in the womb. We're teaching boys and girls how to be promiscuous through safe sex. Here's the thing about safe sex I never understood. Sex wasn't intended to be dangerous. Why does sex need to be taught how to practice it safely? You can find nowhere in the scripture Jesus said, this will harm you. Jesus said, I'm going to give this to you as my gift. Sex should be safe. And by the way, here's the only contraceptive you need. You're being vulgar today. No, I'm not. Right there. That person God brought into your life, won't you honor God in that person? In your R, in your family, in your future, your finances, in your interests, in your investments, in your relationships, huh? In your retirement. I love this church for so many reasons. And one of the reasons why, because the retired people are just still giving back to God. Wow, I hope I die in the pulpit just to draw a big crowd. I'll be honest. I have no designs on retiring. I can find nowhere in the scripture we're supposed to be retiring from God. Nowhere. And I thank God we have people here retired who still invest in Awana, Vacation Bible School, working back here in the nursery today. We're here yesterday cleaning tables and mopping floors and cleaning up after a funeral. Thank God for you. We can't all take a break. Give me that mountain, Caleb said. Wow. S, what do you want to put down S? Your schedules. How about your speech? Hey, you really want to find out whether or not you're saved and you're pleasing God? Your speech right now. When you get outside, I can't believe what that preacher said about abortion. I just tell you one thing, I might just quit that church. Well, just quit. Amen? Because we're going to keep preaching the old-time religion here. People need to be saved. S, put God first in your salvation. How about that? Well, now you're back to the very first one here, my future. We have to be. What's sad, they say, as much as 70% of people in churches today around the world are headed straight to hell. You know why? Because they didn't put God first in their future, in their salvation. That's why Nicodemus sought him out. T stands for time, trouble. How about trust? Now you're back down to, again, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you have that relationship? Nicodemus, we can prove later in the scriptures, was born again. Let me show you the last definition down here, must. You see the definitions down here? You must be born again. Must be born again. That's what Jesus said in verse number 7. What does must mean? Necessary. That's easy. That's a Greek imperative. Non-negotiable. A Greek imperative. You must be born again. Why? Because we're all going to die. And you'll be standing before a holy and righteous God. This is the old-time religion, the old-time personal relationship, not man-made. Everyone's going to stand before God. Regardless where you are in life, you're going to stand before God. Anybody read the headlines this week about the 5-time gold medal swimmer, Nathan Adrian, who just came out and said that he has cancer? We watched him and the others set records at the recent Olympics. Young man who said, I'm still in training now for Tokyo, to testicular cancer. He said, no one's exempt from this. He's the perfect specimen of an athlete, and yet he has cancer. Listen to what he said. He tweeted this to the world. Dear friends, life, like swimming the 100 freestyle, can come at you hard and fast, and you can't always see who or what it is that may be chasing you down. Wow. You know what I get from that? He didn't say anything about God. I get from that the life is brief. James 4:4, life is but a vapor. We can't see everything behind us. It's very likely somebody this year will die that's sitting here in this congregation. Statistics prove. Like the swimmer, dripping in metals, there's no escaping diseases. There's no escaping death. But he needs to prepare just like Nicodemus did, just like you do, just like I do. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and consider these things? Well, how can I be born again? Born of the Word, as convicted by the Spirit. The water, the washing of the Word. Wow. The Word of God. The incorruptible seed of God. You see, sin keeps us out of heaven. But God's holiness and mercy, forgiveness, cleanses us, forgives us. Dear friends, you can change your life today forever with this old-time religion. One verse, you must be born again. These 5 words, you must be born from above. If you feel that tugging at your heart, I promise you it's not this preacher. I'm telling you now, it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit of God. Everyone with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I always like to acknowledge this to the glory of God so I can pray for you right where you sit. If you're compelled to come forward and trust God openly here, hallelujah. But if you're here today, right where you are and you're convicted, you know that you know that you know that you're born physically, but you also are not sure, likewise, if you're born spiritually. Would you raise your hand right now? You cannot think back to a time when you said yes to Jesus, when you came to Jesus at night, in the morning, the afternoon, just like Nicodemus. Have you been convicted of your sin? Have you been born anew, born above, by the washing of the Word, convicting power of the Holy Spirit? If not, slip up your hand right now so I can pray with you. Put your hand up right now. Anybody at all? See one hand, anybody else? Anybody else? You're not sure if you're going to heaven. Why in the world, thank you, I see that hand. Why in the world would anybody leave church after hearing this? You must be. Thank you so much. So dear friends who raised their hand and others who may not have understood my question, this salvation is for you. This is the old time gospel. Thus saith Jesus, not Pharisaical laws and man-made rituals and rules. This is God. You must be born again. How is that accomplished? Jesus said, by the washing of the Word, by the professing of your mouth, confessing, calling out to Jesus, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Simply pray a prayer like this in your own language right now where you're sitting. Let's do it right now. Dear God in heaven, I believe your Word. I feel the convicting power of your Spirit. I do want to be born from above. please forgive me of my sin. Wash me through your Spirit and the Word that requires this. I'm confessing and professing you as Lord and Savior. Save me now, King Jesus. Friend, if you prayed that here, as well as over the radio waves and there by internet, based on the Word of God, you are saved. You're born again, born from above. Wow. Thank you so much. I'd love to talk to you about it after the service. So I'll be standing up here. I'll talk to you. But right now, let's pray to God. Father God, we thank you for the simplicity of John chapter 3. You love the world so much you sent Jesus with five words. We must be born again. We praise you for this old gospel hour. Wow. Thank you, King Jesus.